southwest will be 20 kilometers per hour with a low of 6. This has been your quick 1 p.m. news brief on CFRC 101.9 FM. Be sure to tune in at 5 p.m. tonight for Today in YGK, the latest with CFRC's news team. For now, back to your afternoon lineup.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host, Claire, and you're listening to Earworm. Today, I will be interviewing Danny Webster. He is a Canadian singer-songwriter that just came out with a new EP called DW. He is known for his skillful blend of indie rock grooves with earthy folk textures. Please welcome Danny.
How's it going?
Yes. Okay. So, first question. So, your EP is called DW. Mm-hmm. Was the show Arthur a big part of your childhood, and how do you relate to the character DW?
didn't inspire the project, but I did think about that. And honestly, I haven't watched it in so long, but we probably have... I don't even remember what DW's, like, character traits are. That's the sister, right?
Yeah, that's the younger sister.
What's she like?
Well, she is annoying, but really funny.
Okay.
That one episode where she was messing with Arthur's plane, and then he hit her.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
No. I haven't seen it since my childhood.
I know another line where it was just like... Francine, what are you doing here? And then she's like, oh, nothing much. And she's like, okay, then stop bothering us.
That reminds me of me and my brother as a kid.
Are you a younger brother?
I'm a younger brother, yeah.
Nice.
And my brother is 2 years older than me.
So I remember the first time I met you, I thought you were British.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you actually tell the audience where you're actually from and where you get your accent, quote unquote?
Okay, this is so interesting because a lot of people ask if I'm British or if I'm like Australian or Irish or something. And I never know what to say because I'm none of those things. I'm Canadian and I'm from a small town called Orillia, a couple hours north of Toronto. And I don't know. Maybe there's like a small town accent thing or something, but like, I don't know, my family doesn't think I have an accent and I'm just speaking how I speak, but I am, I'm small town Ontario boy, not British. But my dad's side is British actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Maybe that's where you get it.
Maybe.
But I mean, you listen to a lot of British rock.
That's true,
like the Beatles.
You listen to a lot of the Beatles,
Transitioning to my next question. Mm-hmm. I think one of the first times meeting you, we talked about the Beatles, and now I always think your favorite band is the Beatles. Why are you so obsessed with them?
Where did we meet first? Do you remember?
We met first at Molina's Diaspora.
At the Burdock?
Yeah.
True. That was probably like...
But the second time was at her birthday party.
Yeah, true. I remember that. Yeah. The Beatles. Wow. I could... talk all day about them. I just, you know, my mom was really into the Beatles and I listened to a lot of the Beatles as a kid. I just think they're like really endlessly fascinating. I mean, they just have so much music and I just never get tired of it. And I just think they're the best band ever. And I'm just obsessed with the Beatles. They'll always be my number one band for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. You were saying that you listened to a lot of the Beatles as a kid or something?
Yeah, my dad's also really into the Beatles as well. I was gonna say my dad's favorite Beatles song, but I forgot. It's the one with the new, like, end of the year.
Oh, Here, There, and Everywhere.
Yeah.
Spending each day of the year. That's
Spending each day of the year. Yeah.
Sampled by Frank, of course.
Frank
Ocean. Yeah, I'm Blonde.
Right.
Yeah. That is a really beautiful song.
What's your favorite Beatles song?
It kind of changes, but I could probably give you like a top three.
Okay.
Two of which are on Rubber Soul. The songs are Michelle and Girl. I also love this song called Baby, You're a Rich Man from Magical Mystery Tour. Happiness is a Warm Gun. I love so many. That's the thing, is that they have so many songs, and there are very, very few Beatles songs that I really don't love. Like, I just think they're all so interesting and also daring, and I never get tired of them, honestly.
Nice.
And they're just so much... Sorry, I could talk all day about them.
No, you're good.
So many eras and so many different styles and musical influences, and they were just so innovative, and innovative as a band, but also just as writers and as, you know, producers and stuff. Like, they're great.
No, I mean, we did talk about, like, how you said that they're the best writers, and that you're a writer's writer.
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
You want to expand on that?
Yeah, I totally didn't mean that in like a... I really wasn't trying to sound pretentious or anything. What I meant by that was my style of writing and making music, I feel like, is very old-fashioned, you know, similar to the way the Beatles were, like other musicians of that kind of era, where I'm very much just like, need a quiet room just with my guitar and a notebook and a pen. Like, I'm very, like, analog, you know?
Like Taylor Swift.
Sure, yeah. And I don't know. I've tried writing, like, while I'm producing and, like, while using a computer and stuff, but I don't know. I find I have the most success when I, like, really try and perfect a song on its own, and then I can, like, bring it to the production phase. Like, I'm very kind of step-by-step in my process.
So you do, like, lyrics, and then also while making the lyrics, you do like a little chord progression at the same time?
I'll usually like write a melody and chords and then figure out a melody and just kind of like mumble over top of it and figure it out. And then I'll like go in, and I was doing this yesterday, and just like really, really hammer down and try and spit out the lyrics and stuff and make something I'm really happy with.
Okay.
But it is really step by step. I mean, like, I'll write the word, the melody and the chords, and then I'll write the lyrics. And then I'll start recording and producing, and then I'll mix, and then I'll master, and then release it.
Interesting.
It's very, yeah, that's my process.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talked about your mom, mm-hmm. and how she's helped you kind of form this music taste.
Mm-hmm.
So your mom introduced you to classical music growing up?
Yeah,
and then which is a big contrast to what your dad showed you, which is like 80s metal.
Did I tell you this in person, or did I text you this?
No, you didn't tell me.
Oh, did
I
you?
I just noticed.
You just know this. You did your research.
Did getting introduced to such different genres let you be open to having such a wide range of music?
Totally, yeah. My mom was really, really into like old classical music and like soft rock. I mean, she loved the Beatles and artists like James Taylor and stuff like that. And then my dad was like, still is pretty much exclusively like 80s hair metal.
Mm.
Like a bunch of Canadian bands like Honeymoon Suite and Trooper. He's always listening to like, when I was a kid, like there's a radio station in Barrie close to where they live called Rock 95. So I was listening to like classic rock for a lot of my childhood. And then my mom would put on like classical music for dinner and, you know, orchestras and chorales and stuff like that. I guess a wide taste in stuff. And that's what I like about the Beatles, is it's really poppy and melodically really interesting, but then has this production that's very full sounding and very well arranged and orchestrated and stuff. So, it was definitely an interesting contrast between the two. Yeah, and I also, just one last thing, I also grew up in like a pretty religious family, and like as a kid we would go to this like really old-fashioned like Anglican church, which had these really, really mesmerizing, beautiful like Bach-style chorales and stuff, and that had a really, really deep impact on my taste and my sense of harmony and stuff like that. So a lot of influences in a lot of different places.
So interesting.
Yeah.
My family also grew up religious.
Oh, true. So, yeah. Did you have a lot of, like, music in your church?
Not
was it more, like
the
contemporary
cool
stuff?
Mine was more, I think, like, folk.
Right.
Just, like, a guitar or
the
organ. Honestly, organ's very underrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Instrument. Speaking of underrated instruments, So you also use the mandolin
on the project?
On the project. When, where, why, and how did you learn to play this instrument?
Oh, well, when I was in high school, when I first started writing, I started on the mandolin. I just bought like a really cheap one, and I don't know. I love the sound of mandolins. I was really into like some of the more acoustic, like Led Zeppelin songs with like the mandolin and like the 12 string acoustic and stuff. And it's also like a lot of like two finger kind of chords and stuff. So I thought it would be a good place to start. And then eventually I moved to the guitar, but I still like playing the mandolin from time to time because it's so cute and small. And it's a really, really great instrument to like layer because of like the fast picking you can do. And I always just find it blends really well with like acoustic guitars and stuff. So I love the mandolin. Yeah, it's very pretty. People can really rip on the mandolin. Like bluegrass mandolin, it's crazy.
Will you be putting it out or like using it during your show?
I Don't think so. No.
Okay.
Would you like me to do that?
I think you should.
That'd be cool, so right?
Yeah. Like a mandolin solo.
I think about that. When I was in high school, I was like, my brother and I were in a band and we would kind of busk in Aurelian and I would play the mandolin.
Whoa.
So maybe I should get back to that period.
You should.
Play those Zeppelin songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you learned that instrument first before, like, guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know why I chose that before guitar. I think for a while I was like...
You wanted to be unique.
I did. I really did want to be unique. And that's why I started playing bass when I was younger, too, because I was like, everyone plays guitar. Like, yeah. I want to be different and stuff. And then in high school, I really wanted to impress my girlfriend at the time. And so I learned Thinking Out Loud on the guitar by Ed Sheeran. And then I really liked the guitar, and then I kept it going. I shouldn't have said that.
No, that's good.
But yeah, that's why I started playing guitar. And here we are.
Ed Sheeran. The...
Thankful.
Creator of romance.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
Okay. So you were talking about high school just now. You told me you still get nightmares from writing exams, even though the last time you took one was a long time ago.
Yeah.
When was the last time you've done one, and do you have, like, a nightmare story behind it?
No, I'm constantly having these dreams of, like, being late for, like, a test or being late for class. But I haven't written an exam since I went to Humber, so, like, 2018. But still, I just, like... Even doing tests for, like, I don't know, other stuff since then, it's just super, super stressful. I'm trying to think of, like, the last online test I did. Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, just, like, yeah, it just really, really stresses me out. In high school was scary in general. I just have scary dreams about high school, being in high school and walking around. It's terrifying.
Traumatizing.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I definitely think about high school a lot, and not in a positive way.
Yeah.
I just thank God every day that I'm not in high school anymore. And that's the last thing I'll say about it. I don't know, I didn't really like school in general, honestly. Like, I didn't finish at Humber, and you know, I was just saying how high school was scary, and even elementary school, I just, like, had a bit of a hard time, like, sitting still and, like, focusing, and so...
Neurodivergency?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe just restlessness or boredom.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, I mean... At least you ended up meeting people at Humber, right?
Yeah, totally. Met some really sweet people, talented people at Humber.
Who helped out with your EP?
Yeah, I did meet Hans at Humber. Yeah, and a lot of my friends now, but he's the one that was involved in the project that I met at Humber. And I will say that, like, those friends at Humber, like, really have just, like, inspired me throughout the years with creative work and all kinds of things, so I do owe a lot to them. And I'm grateful I went there just for those kind of connections.
Where did you meet Lane?
Through Humber, yeah.
Okay,
through
Humber,
yeah. Honestly, it was nice, like, going to Humber and just, like, being around people. Like, just coming from Aurelia, it was, like, I didn't know a lot of people that took music as seriously as I did. So it was nice going to Humber and just, like, being surrounded by such talented people that were also really, really nice. And I don't know, I feel like... I just did the year at Humber, but I really don't regret it, honestly, because it completely opened my world to how devoted people can be and how seriously people can take it. And, like, yeah, it had a really big effect on me, and I'm really glad I met those people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I hear, what's that big music school in, like, New York?
Juilliard?
Yeah. Yeah, they say that if you... Or is it... The other one is Berkeley, right?
Berkeley, yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is in Boston.
In Boston, yeah. Yes. They say that if you don't drop out, like, you're not going to be successful or something.
Would they say,
like,
that?
Yeah. Music school. Because, like, you're there for the connections. You're not really there for the education.
I feel like that was certainly the case for me. Like, that was, like, the most valuable thing I got from the program. But it kind of depends what you want to do with music, you know? Like, I have a lot of friends that dropped out, too, that are doing really well, and then I have other friends that are doing really well that totally, like, graduated till the end. So it kind of depends what you want and just circumstances, I guess. Because some people, you know, they want to teach music or they want to be, like, do other kind of, like, niche jobs within music and stuff. But for me, it was, like, I was in class, I was studying bass there, and I was in, like, bass master class, and I was, like, I just want to be at home, like, writing and working on my writing. And of course, they do have, like, songwriting classes there, but I was like, it's the kind of thing that you can just get good at just doing it all the time at home. And so then I took a year off to see how much I could get done in a year and how much music I could make, and I was really happy with it. And I was like, I feel like I'm just going to take what I learned from Humber and the connections I made and then just keep going, and yeah, haven't been back.
Cool. Okay, so just talking about Hans, mm-hmm. right? I was looking at the credits of your EP and it seemed like you self-produced mm-hmm. the entire thing mm-hmm. With the help of Hans. How was the experience? Was it difficult at all, like, to just self-produce? And do you prefer working by yourself when making music?
This was the first time in a while where I recorded every instrument on the project, and then, yeah, like, produced it and wrote it and recorded it, and then I brought it to Hans, and then we mixed it together, and then he mastered it. And I really do like working by myself, actually. Like, I have done some collaborations before, but I'm very kind of...
Particular,
and sometimes hesitant to collaborate with people because it might be slightly an ego thing, but it's also kind of I like the challenge thing. In an ego way, it's like, well, if I, you know, write, if I come up with a really, really great idea, I really want the credit for it myself. Like, I'm really kind of selfish. And if you invite other people in, then it's like you have to split the credits and people contribute in different ways, which is cool. But for this particular project, I was like, I really want the challenge of all the ideas coming from myself, just to, you know, kind of, because I find it really rewarding to, like, get to those kind of producing hurdles, or like those writing hurdles where you just get really stuck, but like I overcame them, and I just find the more involved I am in the work and the process, the more the better I feel at the end. It's just a fun challenge. And I think, you know, like, I think with ideas you have to decide how much of them you want to give away, or like what credits you want to give away and stuff, because, you know, I could think of so many writers that I know that are really, really great writers, or like vocalists or guitar players or something. So I could have just like given them like pieces and let them contribute in different ways, but I really wanted it to be just like a true version of myself, which is why I called it DW, my initials, and or the character from Arthur. And I just really wanted the challenge of doing it on my own, and it was great. It was honestly a lot of fun. It was like, it took about a month and a half. I took some time off work, and I just, every day, just woke up and recorded and recorded and recorded until it was done. And it was really freeing and really, really rewarding. Yeah, I was really happy with it. And the process was really, really fun. Yeah.
Okay, so when you were talking about school and how it was very hard for you to pay attention and like just be kind of restless, when you're making music, is it...
Super focused? Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know, like, as a kid, I was really into drawing, and I just wanted to, before I started doing music, I just wanted to draw all the time. And then when I got into music, I just wanted to do music all the time. And even at a very young age, I was like, why am I being forced to be here? I just want to work on my own thing. And I still kind of feel that way when I'm in situations. I like being in control of my time and stuff. Which high school, like, the routine kind of messed with me and just kind of threw me off. But music, I'm, yeah, super focused. And
cool.
I really, just whatever I'm working on, I really just, like, when I'm talking about, like, the different steps in my process of making music, like, I don't know, when I'm writing, it's like all I'm doing is writing. And then when I'm producing, all I'm doing is producing, and then mixing, and then et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing I'm good at.
Cool.
I think, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What inspires you most to write, especially talking about your EP?
I feel a lot of things. I can be a little sensitive sometimes. I started writing when
I felt it through the music. I
think. Really?
Yeah.
It felt, like, sensitive to you?
Yeah, and reading the lyrics as well.
Oh, true. You read the lyrics. Thanks. Yeah. songwriting has always... I started songwriting, you know, after, like, losing a family member when I was a kid, and it was kind of my way of, like, grieving and, like, understanding, coping and understanding what I was feeling and stuff. And I think I was telling you this before, but, like, songwriting is kind of, like, you know, it's very personal to me, and it's kind of like journal entries. Like, I'm kind of, like, obviously I want people to listen to my music and to relate to it and stuff, and that's cool, but I am really just doing it for myself to, like, help me process things. It's just like an outlet for me. And what inspires my writing is, like, just, like, feeling things. usually when I'm starting to write a song or a series of songs, I'll kind of like meditate and think about just what I'm feeling and what I'm going through or what someone else is going through and just kind of like sit with myself. It's usually a pretty reflective process of self-analysis and just kind of dissecting what's going on.
Cool.
That's my process.
Yeah. I love meditating.
Yeah,
meditating's cool. You're talking about therapy.
Yeah.
And did you get those like kind of meditative ideas from going to therapy, or is it just like something you've always done?
I've been in therapy for a while, and honestly, therapy is something I would really recommend to any songwriter. I think it's a really, especially songwriters that write as personally as I do, when I need inspiration or if I'm feeling down or both, I will go to therapy. And honestly, like really, my therapist is so wise and has inspired so many lyrics and so many ideas, because it's just like unfolding yourself and kind of digging deep, which is kind of what my songwriting kind of tactic is like. So yeah, therapy plays a huge part, honestly, my lyrics, and I think it's great. I think therapy is so good. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could. You know, I feel like it's so expensive. But
it is expensive, yeah. But honestly, like, the feeling of having a session and being like, just having so much to think about and to be more aware of with yourself, I find really, really inspiring and really influences a lot of my lyrics and my writing, for sure.
Mm.
So that's kind of, yeah, one of my strategies is going to therapy.
And meditating.
And meditating, yeah.
Yeah. I really like meditating because it helps people in general to just sit with their actions, their thoughts, mm-hmm. their feelings, negative or positive.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice way. I heard someone talk about meditating like kind of like sitting on a bench watching like a street with cars going by and thinking of the cars as like your thoughts and just like trying to really just like separate yourself from them and just kind of watch them pass through your mind and stuff. And I like that kind of separation. I feel like it gives you like a neutrality and kind of less of a bias, but obviously that's a really hard practice to do. But
no, I like that though. I like what you just said. I feel like I'm a visual learner, so so having that visualization is very interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like detachment is so like tough, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's.
Yeah, I try and practice that even with music. Like you have to have, when you're producing, I feel like you have to have some level of non-attachment, because like, especially if you're collaborating with people, which I don't do a lot of, but even just on my own, like you have to be really, really decisive, I think, and the detachment from things can just like help you kind of move forward, because if you have just like a million ideas that you all think are good, then it's just going to be too messy, and you have to make a lot of decisions with like muting things and cutting things and changing things and stuff. So I just relating to the music.
Yeah.
Detachment.
No, that's so real. That's real.
Yeah.
When you were talking about detachment, I was like, interesting. Like, because I feel like I try to detach from a lot of things, but also it's very difficult to.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting with religions like Buddhism and stuff, how it's like, well, people really just like dedicate their whole lives to like trying to detach from the world and emotions and feelings and stuff.
Have you ever watched Avatar The Last Airbender?
Not in a really long time.
Okay. Because there's an episode where he's working with a guru and he's trying to unlock all his chakras to get to the Avatar state.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about the last one to unlock the Avatar state, and it's to detach from any earthly attachments you have, and he couldn't because he had an attachment to the love of his life, Katara. And then I saw a video about that's what's really holding everyone back is their earthly attachments into going closer towards their purpose in life. So
it's a cool thing to kind of think about. I mean, I think some level of attachment is cool and healthy, but I don't know. With certain things, it's like it's always interesting to kind of sit back and think about your attachment to things.
Like ground yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, and I don't think some of it is super bad, you know, like to have attachments.
Mm-hmm.
to have like no earthly attachments at all, like you're probably going to be dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought.
Totally.
Sorry. That,
so we'll link some articles in the description. Avatar, throw that
Avatar,
in there.
Avatar, yeah, yeah. Shout out Avatar. Shout out Arthur.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So we talked about favorite albums before as well. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite albums?
Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
Okay.
I love that record. I love... It's a tie between Lonerism and Currents by Tame Impala. Those records had really huge influences on me. Forenla Forever Go by Bon Iver. Oh, there are just so many. Probably a Beatles record in there somewhere, but that would be like every Beatles record. There are so many. Probably a Radiohead record or like a Big Thief record or a Soccer Mommy record. So many. I just listed so many. How many did you want? Just the number
just
one? Oh, number one.
I mean, actually I said albums, so...
So you left it up to my interpretation.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually a record that I really, really like that there's this Canadian singer-songwriter named Royal Wood, and he had these records that I listened to a lot as a kid, and my mom was really into him. She would always put these records on. And there's one record of his that I think came out in like 2010 or 2009 or something, and it's called A Good Enough Day. And it's really, really beautiful. And it's really, really nostalgic for me. That's probably in there too. It's more of a deep cut, a lesser known record.
The nostalgia is the driving factor.
Yeah, totally. It's not even like I like the songwriting and stuff, but some of it's like, yeah, my taste has changed a lot, but it's that comfort food, you know? It's like the same when I listen to like old like church choral music and stuff. It just takes me back to my childhood and my mom and her influence. And yeah, I don't know. It's cool how music can kind of, I'm tapping on the table. It's cool how music can kind of like transport you and just kind of make you feel younger or like you're in a different place. That feeling never gets old to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think nostalgia is a very underrated like feeling when putting out music. I feel like there's so much 2000s vibe music that's coming out right now. Mm-hmm. That I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like also, what's that meme with Kamala Harris? Like, you think you just fell out of the coconut tree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, just like, with the context of everything before you, like, what you grew up on, like, that has impacted how anyone makes anything now. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What else were you listening to when you were younger, aside from your dad listening to the Beatles?
I feel like... Okay, I think every person in my family has had an impact in my taste. Clothing-wise, music-wise. Like, all my clothes are hand-me-downs, because I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Of how many?
Of three.
True.
So, my sister, she grew up listening to, like, CDs of, like, Avril Lavigne. So I listened to Avril Lavigne as well, and like Bratz stuff. And then my brother, he was kind of like in that emo rock, like Paramore, My Chemical Romance,
Green Day.
Yeah. And he also listened to a lot of hip hop as well.
True.
So that kind of formed, and also just like R&B from like my cousins, like Alicia Keys, Usher. So I guess it's kind of like a lot of different types.
That's cool.
But yeah, I also... So right now I'm kind of listening to a lot of bubble pop. Is that what it's called? Like Pink Panthers after...
Bubblegum pop? Is that what you're right? Yeah, true. Yeah.
Pop, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been really into that type of music right now. It's very nostalgic to me for some reason.
And I guess there's like new and old bubblegum pop. Because I feel like when I think of bubblegum pop, I think of like 60s pop, like early Beach Boys or like, I'm trying to think who else, but just that kind of like surfs up, like summer vibe. But you're referring to like new
like
bubblegum
electronic
pop.
Right. Bubblegum
okay,
pop.
True. Yeah. Cool, yeah.
So that reminds me of like Bratz. Aquamarine, like all the girly like 2000s vibes into music.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So have you always been like really curious about music, like when you were a kid and stuff? Like,
no.
Oh, interesting.
Like actually, like growing up. Okay, so I guess it's been in my, my background, like as in like passing day, I would hear a lot of music, but I wouldn't like actively pursue looking for music, you know? Like in high school, I didn't have Spotify.
True.
You know? True. I didn't have any streaming services. I only listened to YouTube.
Mm.
So first time getting Spotify was in university, second year.
Whoa, true, true.
And then I ended up...
That must have been a game changer.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... I feel like getting late into the game, I was more passionate about music. Mm-hmm. I love how this interview is turning into...
Yeah, so who are your influences? I'm curious. Because I feel like you just have such a wide taste in music and are, you know, always interviewing musicians. So I was just curious where that started.
I think it's crazy how, like, just getting Spotify, that was like, and I was off social media, like, you know how I delete Instagram a lot. So I just use that time to look at music and listen to music. And yeah, it was a crazy switch because it was like not listening to music, then listening to music. And then it was just, it just consumed me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you got hooked.
I think it was like being introduced to it late in the game was like why I was so into it.
Hmm.
Because if I listened to it like when I was younger, I feel like it would have had a different impact. Like it wouldn't have as big of an impact in the long run. I feel like because it was something so new, I was like, oh, I'm gonna latch on to this hyperfixation, you know what I mean? And I guess it just like never left.
Right. It's also so beautiful, like maybe you, well, I guess you were experiencing this when you were listening to music on YouTube, but like discovering music on your own when someone doesn't show it to you is also a really beautiful and exciting thing.
That's true.
Like where you get your own attachment to these artists or to these songs without anyone like passing them down onto you. That's kind of cool too.
I was actually thinking about this the other day and I'm like, I have such an individuality complex. Like where I do enjoy a lot more music when I introduce it to myself and I find the music by myself instead of like someone showing me. Or it's just really, really rare for me to like something that someone else has showed me.
It is fun when you can find stuff on your own and just,
it's an adventure.
It is.
Totally. And it's like digging for gold.
Yeah.
You know, and you find gold.
And then it's,
and it's rewarding.
And then you can share it with others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally.
I was going to say something.
Finding music on your own, YouTube, Spotify.
Oh, this happens every interview.
That's okay.
Should we move on?
Sure. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just like sit in silence until I remember.
Let's meditate.
Okay, so a lot of the visuals, even the titles of the songs that are in your EP are related to dogs.
Yeah.
Does this mean you're a dog person?
I do like dogs a lot. I've also come around to cats a bit more. Sometimes I'll cat sit this one of my family members' cats, and he used to be like really mean to me, and I got
Fred.
Yeah. I sent you a picture, didn't I? Yeah. Wow, your memory. Yeah, he was kind of mean to me for a while, but then he got really nice, and now we're super chill. I feel like I've had more bad cat experiences than dog experiences. I did get bit by a dog when I was a kid.
Me too.
I forgot about that. You did too?
Yeah, and that's why I was scared of dogs.
True. Like, how do you feel about dogs now?
Now, like, some of them are cute. I am a cat person, though.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, cats are chill. But yeah, the theme of this project was kind of surrounding, like complacency and like inferiority or like, you know, there's a lot of themes with like ropes and like pulling and stuff. Like that was some of the imagery. So yeah, like a lot of the lyrics are kind of like the overarching theme with the project was just like this idea of like forces in your life and like being tugged around in different directions by people or by desires or by guilt or like reflection and stuff. So that's what we were...
Guilt mistakes our teeth.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, you got it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like stuff about, yeah, just being pulled around in different ways. And so then we thought of like the dog idea, and then that fit with the song Leash and stuff. And yeah.
We?
Oh, my friend Jonathan Mata was like my creative partner with this whole project.
Oh, the one who took all the photos.
He took all the photos and he did the videos and stuff. And yeah, we've been working for like the past 10 months on this release with the visual stuff and doing all the shoots and the videos and visualizers and stuff like that. He's a smart, talented man.
Have you worked with him before?
No, first time. I'm good friends with his brother, David, who's this amazing drummer and mixing engineer and producer and stuff in town. And I found out that his brother, Jonathan, is a really great photographer. And then I saw his work and then reached out and we clicked. And yeah, and then we just brainstormed for a while. Like, I had the music finished and then it was interesting. Like, it was kind of a new experience for me. Like, I've never gone so hard on the visual component of my music. It was a little out of my comfort zone for sure. You know, just like thinking about like, what color is this music and what should this music look like? And it was a really great experience. It taught me a lot. And it's definitely something I want to focus on more throughout releasing more music.
Because you want to work by yourself?
Well, maybe. Honestly, like, yeah, but like, I'm realizing the importance of like a visual brand with music more than I ever have. It's taken me quite a while to realize how important that is, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I feel like people are usually drawn by covers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
People judge a book by its cover.
They do.
So,
and you know, just like with social media and marketing and stuff, it's like trying to find things that are like immediately really interesting or like eye candy is something we really try to find and search for and stuff. And yeah, I'm really proud of what we did. And we talked a lot about like world building and thinking about artists we like that have these real worlds with their music, like,
oh, like vision boards, you were,
yeah, that kind of thing, you know, vision. Like, who would be an example, like Rosalia or like Rowena or like,
yeah, Rowena's a big,
yeah,
inspiration, like,
totally.
Visually, even with,
yeah,
me, like, I,
yeah,
also am very inspired by her.
And Jonathan has actually worked with her as well, and
oh, yeah, no, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. I talked with her a bit about world building like last year, and yeah, or like FKA Twigs or like so many different artists where it's just like it's the music, but it's also like the brand and the logo and the font and the colors and the merch and the show and like the whole thing, I think, is like a whole other level. And I'm trying to get more into that, dabble into that a bit more, which is like totally not my thing, but I'm getting into it with this past experience. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also noticed that there's a lot of music that has a lot of cool tone covers now.
Hmm.
And like Rowena has cool tone covered Mickey.
Yeah.
Like
another
a lot
great
of
example.
Blues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And you have like those dark tones as well.
Totally. Yeah. We didn't anticipate it to be so like dark and kind of eerie, but then we did the photo shoot and did some editing and then
it's more warmer. Like the more of the skin tones.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we thought about making it like a little more like red and yellow and stuff, but then when we took the photos, like the sky was just this like, you know, it was kind of this like really dark blue that we thought was really cool. And I really like blue. It's my favorite color.
It's a good color.
Yeah. So yeah, we kind of took all those photos and then we were like, this is actually really cool. And then we just continued we tried to continue that kind of color palette and just keep the imagery going and stuff and just make it a cohesive kind of release. And it's a lot of work.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Thanks.
So do you draw inspiration from Leon Thomas from this? Because he has that mutt, like the song. Or is it his album?
I don't
called
know.
Mutt, right?
I haven't listened to it.
The
is the album cover with a dog on it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry.
And it's red, actually. So
oh.
It's the opposite of...
There's like the Sabrina Carpenter, like man's best friend.
Oh, true. A lot
the
of
dog,
dog
thing.
Stuff happening.
Amelia Maxwell, another indie artist, has some dog imagery, so...
It's making me inspired for an episode now.
Dog themes, yeah. Let's get Sabrina Carpenter on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was totally an idea I had like a long time ago, and then all these other artists started doing it, and I was like, well, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, it's cool. Why not?
And we found this, I work at this cafe and one of the regulars comes in and he has this dog named Nala And she's the one, like, in all the shoots and stuff. Like, seriously, the most well-behaved dog I've ever seen in my life. Like, I told him, like, dude, like, you should totally, like, do some more, like, video work with this dog. Like, she's so, so disciplined. And she was great for the shoot.
Are we seeing Nala in a music video, perhaps?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Kind of the budget is empty.
Right.
But,
you need to do a show.
Yeah, maybe get the dog on stage. Mm-hmm. Some of the merch designs, though, do have some...
Did Asher do your merch?
He did, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Some of it's still in the works, but yeah, what I do have looks pretty cool. Yeah, Asher's pretty cool. He did that shirt, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of his. He's sick.
I'm wearing the Marielle Divino shirt, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a... Do you have her poster as well that he did?
Yeah, I have a Dijon poster that he did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I ran into him at Dijon.
Oh, true. I wasn't at that show.
He was at both...
At both shows?
Yeah, both nights.
True.
Which is kind of crazy, but good for him.
Yeah, Asher is so sick and so talented.
He is. He really is.
Yeah,
he's so nice.
He's humble.
Yeah.
He's cool. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely work with him again.
Visual stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were a dog breed, which one do you think you'd be?
Ooh. I don't... Maybe I'm a husky because I feel kind of restless sometimes.
Or chihuahua, or...
Let's let the listeners decide.
Okay.
Put it in the chat.
Say it in the comments down below.
I don't know a lot of dog breeds, but I'd be like a big dog that's really fun, wants to go for walks all the time, I think.
I think someone said I would be a husky.
Really? Whoa, two huskies.
Well, because I am very like wolf stuff. Like I.
What does that mean?
Like as in like I did like... a birthday party that was alpha themed.
Whoa. That's fun. I love a themed party. That's
so fun. I had a themed party. Oh shoot, I didn't invite you to it.
That's okay.
But it was it was very last minute.
Was it for your birthday?
Yeah, it was for my birthday.
True. But I saw you on your birthday at Nardis's party.
Yes. True. It was mustache themed.
That's great. Yeah. You know what, I wanna maybe next time I host a party, which I don't know when it will be. I don't really have the space for it, but...
Are you in August or September?
I'm September.
Okay.
I want to do just, like, a formal party. Like, everyone just dresses formally, because that's kind of fun.
Like a dinner party, or...?
Maybe not. I don't know. Like I just want to wear a suit and a tie. People can wear, like, nice things, and I think that'd be fun.
That would be fun, yeah. I love dressing up, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah. For sure.
I forgot how to tie a tie, and then I went to a theme party recently where I had to wear a tie, and it all came back to me. Those church days. I did, like, a... I think it's called a full Windsor, which is like a different kind of knot.
Oh.
It's kind of fun.
So learning different types of tie.
Yeah.
Tying.
Well, like every Sunday when I was a kid, I was going to church and stuff, and I was like...
You would tie your own tie.
I would, yeah.
Really, as a child?
Yeah, as a child. Oh. Yeah.
Very nice.
Straight out of the womb, just 9 full Windsors.
Yeah.
I was like ironing my shirt and stuff.
Yeah. You didn't even need to be taught. You just knew.
No, I just knew.
And that's why you should have that type of party.
Yeah.
Because
to honor.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
To honor.
To honor.
Your honor.
Your honor.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we're nearing the end of the episode.
True.
Do you have any song requests?
Song requests?
Yeah.
Oh. Just to like play after the episode or whatever?
Yeah.
I was listening to Elliot Smith just on the transit right here before I got into Erykah Badu.
Oh wow, such a switch.
Yeah, I know. No, totally different vibe. The song Bled White is really, really beautiful. Do you like Elliot Smith?
I listen to a lot?
Yeah.
I only know his famous songs though.
True.
But my old housemate, she really likes Elliot Smith. Mm-hmm. She wants to get EXO tattooed.
Yeah, true. Yeah, he's actually another one of my favorite albums would probably be Either Or. Elliot Smith. It's a really beautiful record. But yeah, Bled White. I'm trying to remember, is that explicit? I don't remember if he swears in there.
It's fine.
Yeah, but that's a really good song.
Chillin'. Okay. And then, if you could collab with any artist or band, who would it be?
Alive?
Mm.
Oh. Maybe Adrienne Lenker. She's so cool. Her writing is so good. She's so talented. I love Adrienne Lenker. So
Big
maybe
Thief.
Her. Big Thief, yeah. Yeah, they're sick. I like their new record a lot. And she's... Adrienne Lenker... Big Thief is one of my favorite bands, but Adrienne Lenker, I think, is, like, one of my all-time favorite writers. I think she's, like, one of the top writers of our kind of generation. Like, I just think she's so great. And yeah, so probably Adrian Lenker.
I remember being on a bus to Kingston and listening to Adrian Lenker. It was because I was doing a live episode, and it was the Valentine's episode, which is like, I named it for those who don't celebrate, because it's like all the sad songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has some super sad ones.
Yes.
Do you like Big Thief too? Have you listened to a lot of them?
I haven't listened to a lot, but I should get into.
The record that I think is like really slept on is called UFOF. I think it's 2019, and it's so, so good. People don't talk about that album enough.
My friend who's really into Elliot Smith, she's also really into like Big Thief. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just into all the sad ones. Like, her favorite artist is Phoebe Bridgers.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I love that stuff.
So what are some songs that inspired you to make the sound of your EP?
I'm trying to think what I was... It was made... I recorded it in the summer. I wrote it early 2024 and then recorded it in the summer of 2024. So I'm trying to think of who I was listening to at that time. There's a song called Us on it that's really inspired by Elliot Smith, for sure.
I can see that.
Yeah. He's had a huge influence on me. So him, for sure. Probably some Big Thief stuff. Probably some Radiohead stuff. I was really into... this artist Kurt Vile, he's a really great writer. I was listening to that a lot at the time. Or this artist I found recently called Porches. Or no, I guess I didn't find him recently, but he has this record. I forget what it's called, but it's really, really cool. And geez, I don't know. So much. I was listening to things, a lot of things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what can fans anticipate for the future? What type of projects are you working on at the moment?
Well, still just trying to promote this project for the next while, some other visual things coming soon, and hopefully a show. I'm trying to organize a show, but it's not going quite as planned, but I'll figure it out. So that'll be really fun, and I'll try and promote that a lot. But musically, I've got some other just like singles in the bank that are ready to go, but I'm just waiting for the right time to drop those. And then just like a month ago, I started writing again, which I haven't done in a while, and I'm anticipating writing another record. I have no idea when that'll come out. Probably a while from now, because I just started.
Right.
But yeah, some singles in the works this year. I think they'll come out, and then record on the way, I guess.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited which opener you end up choosing. even if it's not from me.
Yeah.
It's going to be really exciting to see.
Thanks.
But yeah. Thank you for doing this interview,
Danny.
Yeah,
thanks so much for having me, Claire. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
Nice talking
really
to you.
I really appreciate you being here and doing this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah. Wait, you said your song request, right?
Yeah, Blood White by Elliot Smith.
Okay.
Oh, just resist their good intentions.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Steve Swelsey Wells, and I'm extraordinarily excited to invite you to Gannspring Rock 2026 on April the 25th at the Royal Theatre in Gananoque. Come rock out with MC Shansky, Gananoque's poet laureate Gretchen Huntley, and listen and dance to some great rocking grooves by Pudge, The Red Handed, and my band Triple J, all in support of the Gananoque and Area Food Bank. Advance tickets are available now for $20 through Eventbrite.